T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Searching for a great deal on Fords in Chicago? Visit Webb Ford in Highland, Indiana. Spiegel and Parkins with Patrick Manley for an hour.
He's never been the biggest bag in any locker room.
Never.
Ever. Right?
Ever?
No, I don't know.
Maybe. Well, no, I hope not. I hope not. I think that's maybe why. Maybe a Duke. Maybe right. 1 year a Duke. I don't know.
Can't do it. Continues here on the score. The biggest bag in the Bears locker room in your time?
Oh, man. There's too many to name. Too many to name. Can't do it. Right. No way. Can't do it.
No, you've already said you're never going to come
no,
on that segment.
I can't. No, I just can't.
Coward.
There's too many. Yeah, I know. That's all right. No, I'm smart. Not a coward. I'm smart.
That's what that
Thin
is.
Thin line between genius and insanity, my
exactly.
friend.
Exactly. I'll go with genius.
Do you ever have a teammate? Did you ever have a teammate who said he was sick and couldn't go, and you guys had to turn to him and say, are you freaking kidding me? Or is that so anathema to football culture?
Exactly. No, I can't recall. I heard you guys talking on the drive down here, and no, I can't recall anybody like that. The only things I could remember that, you know, would maybe upset you was when you did show up to a game and you saw like a Jay Cutler or a Brian Urlacher or a major player on the team getting an IV bag and they had got sick the night before or something like that. You knew they were going to play, but they weren't going to be 100%. And there was just no way that you're not going to play. That's just the way it is. That's just the culture, especially in our locker room. There's no way you could look your teammate in the eye if you didn't play with a cold.
I covered a guy on the Chiefs. It's out there. I can say his name. Eric Fisher, the number one pick.
Yes.
And the guys just, they didn't trust him. Like for a while it was, anonymous. And then eventually it was like, yeah, he needs to work harder. He needs to, like, he's not injured. He needs to learn, because he was coming from the MAC to the NFL and he's the number one pick. And he needs to learn the difference between hurt and injured.
100%ers.
Yeah.
I mentioned it before. Yeah. Go ahead and finish the story.
No. It's fine. But, like, it's now he got that second contract and he's figured it out and he's become a pro and he's an above average NFL left tackle. And, like, the guys who used to be telling me that, I still talk to some of them, and they're like, I would have bet against it. You know what I mean? Because, like, for years, they thought, like, this guy is just not – he's tough by, like, your standards, Danny. Like, you know, whatever. But, like, by our standards, this guy is noticeably not tough. And they were saying how rare that was in the football culture. I mean,
yeah, guys have to learn how to be a pro, and you learn pretty quickly depending on your locker room. I'll give you just a quick example. You know, I talk about Olin Krutz a lot on this show or just all the time. But he had an appendicitis on a Sunday night after a game.
Okay.
Had surgery, I think that, you know, the middle of the night, Monday night or whatever. Somebody in the Bears organization said, they asked him, can he play the following Sunday? And they said, if he can deal with the pain. He was in the weight room on the Wednesday or Thursday, I can't remember the exact day, trying to squat and rip out the stitches to loosen up his gut to make him feel better. And then found out on Friday, the doctor's like, no, you can't play. You just had your appendix taken out and you can't play. And he got a little upset, but when you have a leader like that that had an appendicitis on the Monday and is doing everything possible to make himself feel good enough to go out and play on the next Sunday, what does that tell you? That's a locker room that, like, you better not, you know, not play because of the sniffles or, you know, food poisoning or anything. I actually had food poisoning my rookie year before we played the Minnesota Vikings, a home game. I woke up at 2 in the morning, puked till about 6 in the morning, called our trainer. And I was like, you know, I've been up 4 hours puking. What do? I have to play because there's no other long snapper. And he said, we'll get over to Soldier Field early. We'll get you IVs, try to get you some medicine and clear it up. And, I mean, you just have to play. That's just the way it is. And it was horrible and an awful experience, but you fight through it. And, you know, you owe it to yourself and your teammates to do that.
A lot of people texting in Cedric Benson Super Bowl.
I mean, that's an MCL. That's a structural damage. I don't know how injured he was. You know, you can also talk about the Jay Cutler situation with his knee as well.
In the NFC Championship
game, I saw him on the sidelines try to come out and convince the doctors, you know, I'm going to try to play. And he was on the sideline of on the field trying to throw the ball, and it just wasn't working. So I saw him try to come out and play. It's not like he stayed in the locker room and said, no, I'm done. Cedric, I don't think, tried to do anything to show his teammates or himself or the doctors that he couldn't go. He just said, no, I can't go. So, I, you know, that you can't yeah, you know, it's Cedric's call. That's Cedric's call.
It didn't sit well, though, huh?
No, it didn't. It didn't, because I didn't see anything, and I haven't heard anything that he did to say, all right, let me try and run on this. Let's put a brace on it and see what I can do.
That's what you want to know. You want to know your guys fought for it. We played a bit of tape earlier from Mike Rizzo, the Nats GM, talking about how, you know, well, did he fight you for the ball?
I heard that.
No, he said he would go if he can. It's like, you want to see your guy try.
And the other thing you want is your ownership, your coaches, or whoever, telling everybody how hard you did fight for that, how tough of a guy you are. That's taking care of your own team. And I was shocked to kind of hear those words and the way he came across with that.
Because I really never do it. I try really hard. Like, this story is just weird, and they were speaking out of both sides of their mouth, and it was just, you know, mold. Mold is so ridiculous that, like, it deserves to be mocked. But I really never play the "you quit" card. Or you don't try hard, or you don't care. Because it's like, these are professional athletes. You're the 1% of the 1%.
Adrenaline is an amazing drug. It cures all, man. Once you go into a game and you have a head cold or anything like that, it's gone.
Really?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just, you don't feel it. You know, you might not be as strong, or you're a little more tired, but everything else is just, it just feels like you're cleared up and ready to go. But you're not 100%, but you still need to go out there and give it a shot. And
sure.
I call this kind of the shame game. I think he's been shamed into playing. I really do.
It is.
Yeah, it's
he has been shamed in. So now what happens? Now he's kind of in a no win. And so, I mean, he's got to be great.
He's got to win. He's got to go out and play well.
Right. If he loses, it's twofold. It's, you made us have all the distraction before the game, and then we lost.
And maybe you shouldn't have gone in the first place.
Maybe you shouldn't have gone in the first place. But if you win, it's, hey, you had some adversity, and
sure,
you came through, and you were there for us when it counted, and
but
you won.
But his teammates in the locker room know what kind of guy he is. They really know what's
for
going on.
For better or worse.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So they really know what's going on.
Well, we'll find
out this afternoon.
And the stuff around him, we'll move on to football, but the stuff around him has always been about his routine, and he is a stickler for routine, and he thought he was going to go game five, and I think there's a lot of that in this factor.
I talked to my father-in-law about that. You know, he had the Tommy John surgery. He said it's crazy what they're doing with him. Why is he sitting? He needs to go out and pitch more. He needs to get stronger and get his arm ready. That's how, you know, that's the way Tommy did it and the way he got through it. And it's not the same way for everybody, but He was shocked what he was doing when he was sitting out that 1 year.
All right, so let's talk about Mitch Trubisky. Mm-hmm. I have made the argument that he had already passed the eye test in terms of mobility, athleticism, arm strength, and all of that. And now it was going to come down to coaching, the talent around him, and if he, like, just like the stuff that I can't know, right? The mental side of it, the understanding of the game, the work ethic, and all of that. Now we've seen him do whatever you think he did against a pretty good defense in Minnesota. What did you think?
I was overly impressed. I really was. I thought his accuracy on the run is just unbelievable. He makes everybody else around him better because of that. Not only the offensive line, he is able to escape a little bit and let the receivers maybe get some separation if they're not open when he's scrambling. And I love the game plan that Dowell Loggins came up with. I thought it was perfect for him. I think it was simple and catered to his strengths, obviously. But I was impressed. He didn't have a great second half. There were some throws I'm sure he wanted back, but that first half, I thought he played pretty darn good. Without the penalties, I think they put up 14 points, 10 points in the first half. They kept getting down to the 35-40-yard line. They kept getting these stupid penalties.
The one on the white hair penalty, that was a completion down to the 9-yard
exactly.
line.
Exactly. And that was a holding. But the one on Marcus Wheaton, that was not a holding. The touchdown run by Jordan Howard,
that was a ticky-tack.
Yeah, that was a bad call.
What did you think of the offensive pass interference?
Terrible.
Terrible.
He went up. He didn't push off. He actually, if you look at it closely, he goes up with his right arm, and he goes up through the face mask and then comes up with his left hand.
Mm.
I think maybe he mistimed it and was going for the ball and then had to come with his left hand
right
to get it. And it was not a blatant push-off. The referees, you know, I was glad that McDonough and Gruden were kind of went in on the NFL and these referees of how poorly they called the
game. Jerome Boger had a rough night.
It was
night.
Horrible.
Ticky-tack.
Took away from the game.
Absolutely did.
It's a contact game. Their holding is holding. I mean, that contact or a little grab here that Leonard Floyd had at the end of the game, you can't call that in that situation.
That defensive holding, and
you
that completely
cannot call that in the situation.
That killed the game for the Bears.
Yes. I mean, he made an incredible play on that.
Right.
And he had an incredible game, but you just can't do that. You're impacting the game because of you as a referee and not letting the players play. And there's been a lot of games that way this year. It might have been the ones that I've been watching of that crew, but that was poor. I mean, that was just, you know, made me enjoy the game less.
All right. So, the throws on the run, just unbelievable. And the athleticism. And did you see how many times did he even have a chance to, like, sit back in a clean pocket and look through progressions?
There was one big one at the end of the game, but he ended up running for almost the first down, and then they had the illegal contact on the left side. I was watching it. if he would have stayed, in, it was a clean pocket. If he would have stayed in the pocket for just a tick longer, he had, I think it was Zach Miller open on the left for a first down, and he decided to run and go for the first down.
Almost
came
got
up
it.
Short, almost came up. But the one thing I did like about it, and I get this from listening to Aaron Rodgers after the Dallas game, he said he recognized man coverage late in the game, so he tucked it and ran for it and got that big run to get them down close to the goal line.
Hmm.
I'm wondering if Mitch Trubisky saw that as well, because it was man coverage, and he took off a little early, and nobody was over to the right. I forgot who the guy the receiver was running a clear out route, a nine route, and took off for that pylon. And I'm wondering if he noticed it was man-to-man and said, you know what, I can get it with my speed. That's good recognition for a rookie quarterback. But I might be giving him too much credit for that.
Possibly,
but,
yeah.
But, you know, after hearing Aaron Rodgers say that and saying that's a possibility of what quarterbacks read and can see, good for him if he did see that.
When you see the breakdown of it, and I tweeted it out the other day, and it's all to the right.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's all of it.
Yeah.
You know, there's like one pass to the left
yes.
hash mark. How?
And that was money as well.
Right, right. How easy is that to game plan for Baltimore? Like, do the Bears need to change drastically from Minnesota to Baltimore? Because I would imagine, like, just in the layman knowledge here.
I think they will.
Okay.
I think they really came in with a limited game plan and said, okay, this is what we're going to put in for you, and these are the routes we're going to see. All right, let's just mirror it and flip it. And maybe we'll run some boots to the left, some nakeds to the left, some sprint outs to the left.
So you think that it wasn't just because he's a righty?
He throws the ball just as well going to the left as he does to the right.
Okay.
He did it in North Carolina. He can do it now. I don't see why not. I don't think so. I think it was just because Adawa Loggins drew up such a limited game plan for him.
Interesting. Because that was the thing that immediately came to mind. And I was like, I wonder if it's so simple that it'll be that easy to shut down.
Every play, I would say not every play, but most plays are put in right and left calls. So you can run them right or left. The same way with the run game, the passing game is the same way, depending on hashes. That's why they do that. So he has it in his game plan. It wasn't called. But can he call it? Sure.
Okay.
It's the same call, but just flipped. Directionally wise.
I want to talk some big picture stuff with you in terms of like how good this guy can be, how
sure.
far they are away if he is that good.
Yep, and the stuff that Trubisky did after the game I want to ask Pat about as well.
And we will have Kyle Orton call in at the end of the hour.
This Ortman!
Pat Manley hanging
Trubisky
out.
Trubisky and Ortman
on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Kyle Orton's going to call in and talk to his buddy Patrick Manley and us two Jamokes in about 20 minutes. This segment of Spiegel and Parkins brought to you by Target. Trick out your Halloween at Target with costumes, candy, decor, and more with scary good prices every week. Target run and done. We are putting stickers on the surgical masks right now to mock the mold. Dusty Baker saying that there's a mold problem in Chicago. And so we have...
Stephen Strasburg very nearly not pitching because of the purported mold problem.
So we want you to be... we want you to go to the Cubs game today in your hazmat suit. Suits or your surgical masks, you could provide them, or you could find me outside of the Wrigley Field bleachers around 2 o'clock or so. I will be passing out about 175.
It was a ridiculous idea from our guy, the Flatulating Dog.
Flatulating
right?
Dog said we should convince listeners to wear their own surgical masks, yeah. And we decided to make it about us and try to get some promotion out of
well,
it.
Well, it's already being called hashtag mold game by a lot of national baseball people.
Mm.
So this is the mold game for better or for worse forever.
So we're mocking the mold. I want to talk more Trubisky in a second, but from just the athlete perspective and a sport that gets talked about more on a game-by-game basis than any other sport, and it's not close because there's only one a week, and we have to fill so much time during the week.
That's why I'm here right now.
Exactly. You are a clock gobbler. Are a time filler.
Yeah, exactly.
How much do these distractions matter? To he's, actual players.
You said clock gobbler.
He is a clock gobbler. You guys like that on the other side? You never heard that?
It's dangerous, dangerous.
There's some reflexes that just went
Hold
over
on.
There.
Wild card hunt. Wild card hunt.
He's just a rabid clock gobbler, guys. All right? He's here for a full hour. We don't do this with any other guest, but we need to get through the, you know, it's hump day. Anyway. So, like, the Cubs just tweeted out an image of, like, Ben Zobrist just, like, leaning up against something and smiling, like, incredulously. You know what I mean? Because this is just a whole bunch of circus, and it's a whole
sure.
bunch of talk. And the whole resulting thing is the guy that they saw in game one is now starting game four, and one guy was subbed out of the lineup. Does this stuff matter more to media and fans, or does it matter at all to players?
It depends how big it is. Obviously, for this situation, for the Cubs being a playoff game, the guys are going to hear this, and they're probably going to laugh about it. Shameless plug, I was doing my TV show last night, the Chicago Huddle with Cameron Meredith, and I asked him a question about...
No clock gobbling on that show.
Do the guys hear, the receivers, do the guys hear the outside noise of people critiquing them, saying they're not very good? And he said, yeah. He said, they sure do. Wow. And we try to use it as motivation. So when it's an issue that hits home, maybe to a specific position group or a specific player, and it's big, maybe the starting pitcher like today, yeah, it becomes an issue. Yes, and you try to use it in some way to motivate yourself.
Okay. But that's bulletin board material. Is it? What about distraction?
Yeah, well, I always said this. It can be when you have to answer questions about your other teammate.
Okay.
So if you're, you know, if we're sitting in our locker room and so-and-so did something or is, you know, doing something, and the media comes to all the players to ask you about them, that's when it becomes a distraction.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's when it can become a locker room issue.
And then you're mad at the guy for making you answer questions that are uncomfortable that he himself can't answer.
Because they put you in such a bad position to try to give the politically correct answer or not get him in trouble or not get the rest of your teammates in trouble if you happen to slip with an opinion that doesn't work well for your team.
Hmm. I wanted to ask you about what Mitch Trubisky said after the game. First he said to the media at the end of his media session, that's on me, I got to make a better throw. Then apparently he went into the locker room and addressed the team and said, guys, that's on me. Everybody, good job. That is on me. I gotta learn from that. I don't know. I mean, that's and I saw that getting praised from various players.
I hope this isn't fake. You know, it's refreshing, but if that's truly who he is, that's a leader. That's a guy who are going to rally around. That's a guy who want to go, you know, to whatever stadium they're playing in every Sunday and play with that guy. But let's just hope it's not fake. Hope somebody didn't coach him up and say, this is what you should do if this happens, or this is what you should do if this happens. If it's truly his own feelings and his own thoughts, then 100% I think that's fantastic. It's refreshing. It's great. And guys in the locker room are going to love it. But if it's fake, they'll figure it out by next week.
They'll sniff that out. That's interesting.
What have you got in terms of Trubisky, in terms of a read on him, and personality-wise, leadership-wise, that sort of thing?
Talking to the guys, they say they love him. Say he works hard. Interesting thing talking to Cam Meredith last night was I asked him, was it an issue when he came into the huddle for you know, kind of his first time? And he's like, yeah, but it wasn't an issue after his first few times. Like, it truly was hard for him to come in and call a play and do all that and learn the mechanics of everything because he's never done it. But he quickly got over it. It's not that hard of a thing to do. But he quickly got over it and learned it. And that's just an example of, guess, how hard he's been working to get himself in the position he is right now.
All right. So, you know, we've been talking about having my raging Trubisky, and like, I'm excited about him. Like, I really like, he could be something at quarterback that the Bears franchise has literally never had. How good do you think he can be? What's his ceiling?
I can't give that to you yet. The sample size is too small. And I know it's a cop-out, but the sample size is way too small.
It's not, because you've only seen the game plan for 1 week.
The preseason is the preseason, but I want to see, yeah, because at the preseason, you were given the playbook to run plays against a kind of a straight X's and O's defense. Now you're getting a playbook that's tailored towards a specific defensive coordinator you're going against, and I need to see more of a sample size.
No, I mean, listen, obviously that's fair.
But it was a very good start.
Yeah, the skill set. Like, all right, Matt Ryan. Can Matt Ryan move on the run and throw with as strong of an arm as Mitch Trubisky can?
No, I don't think that game. That's what impressed me the most about it. I was telling you guys off the air that Olin Krutz and I were texting last night. I was watching the game tape again last night, and we were just beyond impressed at how well and how accurate he can throw on the run.
So
Aaron Rodgers-esque.
So that
esque.
And I didn't want to say that.
No, I know, but it's esque. It's not, you can't even put him in that ballpark or even in the parking lot of that ballpark.
Of course.
He is, that trait is there.
And so I guess what's interesting to me about that is we also hear, I mean, the guy completed 70% of his passes in college. The accuracy period jumps out, right?
Yes. Like that's what jumped out to me in watching his college tape.
Okay, is that the way? And basically, for people that don't understand, it's not just completing the passes;
no, it's putting in the ball in the receiver's hand so he can go do his job.
Charles Woodson called it his ball placement. He and Steve Young raving late night Monday after the game. Young raving about the pocket presence, or as he called it, a sense of place. And Woodson raving about what you guys are talking about—the ball placement to the receiver's hands.
But even just as simple as a throw is like a swing pass to a running back. Not just completing that, but putting it in right in front of him, right in front of his numbers so he can catch it, see the defense, and go make a play.
Because I have my list of guys that I think of with that, right? So the throwing on the run with accuracy and arm strength, obviously the first name everyone goes to is Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
And then he makes throws that, like, basically nobody else can make.
Yes.
And we're saying, you know what I mean? Like, Russell Wilson can do it. Roethlisberger.
But they don't look the same.
They don't. Right. Who do you go to for your accuracy when you're talking about, like, catches the ball in the exact right spot and that sort of
thing? Drew Brees.
Yep. That's the first name I go to.
When I watched the college tape of Mitch Trubisky, that's who jumped out at me.
So
because of the accuracy that and kind of his stature. He's not the biggest and tallest guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he made this throw. He made this throw in college where he jumped up. You've seen Drew Brees do it to get a sight line above the receivers and deliver a strike.
Brady, right?
Brady, yes.
short area accuracy, mm-hmm. in stride, throws guys.
Matt Ryan
open.
As well.
Matt Ryan,
yes.
Alex Smith, known for
yes.
short area
yes.
accuracy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit more common mm-hmm. from quarterbacking, right? But I guess what I'm thinking here is it's like if they have that. If he has that skill, and he has that Rodgers-esque skill, then the ceiling is top three, top five quarterback in the NFL. If everything else breaks, I
possibly
truly believe
he's got to learn defenses. He's got to be to that level of those quarterbacks you just named. What makes them elite is they get up under center, and they know what the defense is going to do.
I'm simply saying physically. I have no idea about his mental acumen and ability to get there.
Yeah.
But physical throwing the football talents. I think has the potential.
If I can pull you away from the rabid clock gobbler for just a moment.
Yeah.
Here on a hump day.
Yeah.
It's time for an update. And then some classics from Joe Madden today on the microphone. I got to share with you guys, too.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This segment brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing. Pat Manley hangs out with us for the noon hour on Wednesdays, and he books a guest. Kyle Orton will be the guest in about 10 minutes or so, maybe a little less.
Joe Madden spoke to the media earlier in the hour and you know, offered being an allergy sufferer myself, I know it's uncomfortable sometimes. Whatever they choose, that's fine. He was asked if his pitchers, if he had any pitchers under the weather. And here's what Joe said. He said, everybody is, actually. Theoretically, everybody's under the weather.
It's good.
Joe is feeling it today. He was dropping a couple of little bombs like that. And then, it's not Anthony Rizzo, but Mike Rizzo, the GM, has now spoken and says that Strasburg was on IVs, antibiotics, lots of fluid, was given stronger IVs this morning, and is now able to go. Meanwhile, Pedro Gomez tweeted that a recently retired pitcher texted him and said, quote, everybody shamed him into starting.
It's a shame
quote.
Game.
It
Hashtag
is,
shame game.
This is a shame start
yes.
for Steven Strasburg, and what? Maybe he will be bad just to prove that he's sick. Yeah, look at me. See?
That'd be taking it a long way. That'd be pretty good. Good for the Cubs.
Good. I mean, yeah.
Maybe.
Wow. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Or he's totally fine, and he's going to no-hit him like he did for
is
six innings
Is he speaking
in game
before?
One.
The, he doesn't yeah. he speak today?
I think he's supposed to speak, yes.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that.
Mm-hmm. But he was supposed to – normally the starter
– He was supposed to speak yesterday, right?
Exactly.
Right,
he
right,
talks
right, right.
the day before he pitches, but now
– But he didn't talk yesterday.
So now the starter will talk on the day of – He's.
I don't know.
He's not going to do
Mike
that.
Rizzo said they switched the antibiotics, gave him a higher dose, plenty of fluids, and he felt like normal stress today.
They're going to put like Gio out there as a game five starter
the,
or something.
What happened? The Nationals botched this.
Yes.
They could have taken care of him completely just differently. It's just they botched it. Their PR staff botched this.
They put Dusty Baker in a terrible yes. position yesterday. And then Dusty just kind of talked off the cuff and
yes.
tried to cover Strasburg's ass and in the end made the Nationals
yes.
look bad. So then they're like the flurry apparently of texts and PR corrections after Dusty talked was relentless.
There should have been just simple talking points saying we're not sure if he's going to pitch or not. He is extremely sick. He's on IVs. Be honest about it and say that what position he's in right now, and we don't know what's going
to
happen.
Or don't even say that. Why not just say I'm not ready to make a determination
right.
on my
that's
game four
exactly.
starter?
Okay.
They didn't even need to – don't even go that
you
hard.
You should be the PR director for the Washington Nationals.
Yes. I've often said that when I get blackballed from media, I'm going to handle PR because these people handle this stuff horribly.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. And just don't say that he's sick.
Just a reminder.
And say I haven't decided yet who is going to start game four. I'll let you guys know tomorrow.
And just a reminder
Done.
That this guy with the terrible flu-like symptoms was shagging fly balls in the outfield yesterday in that terrible weather and hanging
oh,
out in the
right.
Wrigley clubhouse. Who you crapping?
Yeah, it's idiotic.
It's idiotic.
Which is why we're going to mock the molds. Speaking of really idiotic, be honest, how dumb do you think this is?
Oh, God, on a scale of one to sandwich board?
Yeah.
I'd go...
Well, see, here's my...
Maybe eight.
Nice.
You're bringing the wacky radio stunt back,
but
man.
See, that's 100%.
And it's fun.
100%.
Radio's supposed to be fun.
Radio's supposed to be fun. You don't have to take things so seriously.
Yes.
And, like, I'm thinking of, like, the last scene in Animal House where you're like, this calls for a really stupid... futile gesture on somebody's part, and we're just the guys to do it. Like, I feel like eat me, like the cake in the parade in Animal House. Like, okay, they're talking about mold at Wrigley Field. Yes. That deserves to be mine.
Well, let's see how many more people just bring their own mask.
That's what I'm
saying.
Maybe
you should bring some extra stickers.
Yeah, well, I have hundreds.
We
of
will. Yes,
that's what I mean.
And we've had several people tweeting us that they're going to wear their own surgical masks.
And then go find Danny and just get a sticker.
And get the stickers. Yeah, we have Spiegel and Park. Look at this.
That's first class operation you guys have here.
That is wow. Spiegel and Parkin sticker, you know, on the mask.
Turn around on that. What was that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's phenomenal. I did notice something about the sticker, though. Do you see how big Danny's name is on that sticker? What's up with that? Huh?
Yours is in bold and small, and his is in larger, taller font, but
it is
skinnier.
Taller. Oh, that's true.
It's proportional to us, Speaks.
You're saying the sticker, just like us, represents like a big and tall store.
Yes, it reflects the show.
We are Destination XL, the radio show.
You can tweet me at Danny Parkins if you want a mask. I'll be outside of the bleacher entrance by Murphy's before first pitch. We'll talk to Kyle Orton about We'll See next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back to the Spiegel and Parkins Show. That highlight brought to you by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam is clinically proven to relieve leg and foot cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at TheraWorksRelief.com.
That was Kyle Orton to Rasheed Davis for a touchdown, I do believe, right there.
Correct. Yes, sir. Former Bears quarterback joins us with our hour with Pat Manley. We basically use Pat Manley to book guests that otherwise would not call us back. So Kyle Orton joins us on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at Grossinger.com. What was that, Kyle?
I said I fit firmly in that category.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No matter how often we called, you wouldn't call us back.
Yeah, yeah. But don't worry. I promise. Pat Manley is here.
He is.
Well, KO, you know how much I like to text. I don't like to call. So I'm going to use this time to figure out what we're going to do this winter for our golf schedules. When are we going down to Squire Creek?
Oh, jeez.
I think I've invited you probably three or four times in the past, and your schedule is the one that never works out, so why don't you tell me when?
What's the weather like in December down in Louisiana?
It's rainy, but we can get it in for sure.
All right, let's schedule maybe right after this show. I'll get a flight down there, and we could get in 2 days of golf. I'll come back Saturday and then do the pregame show here at The Score.
I love it.
All right. When are we going to do?
It's that
simple. Done. All right, we'll pick a week in December. I'm dead serious.
See you later, Kyle. Cool. Thanks, man.
Glad we could help.
It's good talking
to you. What everybody doesn't know is now after the radio show, we both have to call our wives to make sure we're so
close. 100%. Right. What's the quote? Some people run their house and some people run around their house?
That's a great Joe Tiller line.
Sad news about him, my
rest
man.
Rest in peace, Joe Tiller.
Yeah, it was. He's a great coach, and I hope some college coaches now can take a lesson from him, man. He never made it about himself and never put pressure on his players. It's all about having fun and being college football players.
There's some stories about you two, I guess, having some pretty good debates. What's the best one that comes to mind? They were off the field stuff.
It was just always with him, you know. He'd kind of seen everything in life, you know. He was kind of a Western cowboy and just had pretty simple life lessons that were, you know, easy to portray to kids. But I'd probably say the best story, Coach Tiller story I have, was on a recruiting trip, and my dad and I are sitting in his office, and by this point I'd been a, you know, pretty highly ranked high school quarterback, and, you know, figured this coach was going to tell me how great I was and, you know, yada yada, like they always do. And he was sitting behind his desk and said, I see you're a 3.2 grade point average student. That means, and I said, you know, yeah, coach, 3.2. And he says, that means you're an underachiever, and underachievers don't play football at Purdue, you know. And my dad was sold at that point.
Huh. Turned out to be a pretty darn good career. So you come here, obviously, in 2005 as a rookie, and we have Mitch Trubisky here in Chicago starting. Take us behind the scenes of what it's like being a rookie quarterback, and what's he thinking about right now that he's been handed the football?
I think he's, I know myself, it was, sink or swim, but you have a lot of guys that, it means a lot to, and if you don't rise to the occasion, you're going to let a lot of your teammates down, and maybe he's ready or maybe he's not, but he's got a lot of guys dependent on him.
And Ron Turner was our coordinator. What was it like behind the scenes with him? Like him giving you the game plan each week, and how much was it dialed down? People are talking about giving a rookie quarterback a dialed down playbook.
Right. I think it's a double-edged sword. I think any quarterback that has any coordinator that has a young quarterback, obviously the natural inclination is to not make it too hard for him. And I think there should be an open dialogue. There was with Ron for sure that, hey, can you handle this much? Can you not? Hey, coach, maybe we've got too much in the red zone. We've only get one day to practice it. I'd rather have more reps on fewer plays and feel good about those plays going into the game.
We're talking to Kyle Orton here on The Score. I don't want to assume that. Did you watch Mitch Trubisky's debut?
Yeah, I did watch, from afar, but yeah, I watched enough of it.
What'd you think of him?
Oh, it looks like to me he's got a good arm. It didn't look like he had much nerves at the line of scrimmage, which is great. And I think certainly it seems like he's a pretty mobile quarterback. And I think that's always a plus for younger guys if they can, on third down and coverages get dicey, hey, you can tuck it and run a little bit and save yourself some time.
Looking back, Kyle, is there anything that would have helped you more? Whether it was relationship with the teammates or maybe learning one specific aspect you didn't know till later in your career mattered so much. Is there anything that you wish you had known a little bit more about that first year?
No, I think it's, like I said, it's just something that it's sink or swim, and it's a tough league, and it's tough to play the position, and only reps on the field are the only thing that can, really kind of get you that next step, and it's got to happen at some point, whether you're week two in your rookie season or your fourth year and you finally get on the field. At some point, the learning curve is just going to – you're either going to be able to make it or you're not.
And we had Moose Muhammad, who was a veteran wide receiver. How much did he take you under his wing, and how much did he help you with maybe your quarterback development and how to learn to deal with, NFL wide receivers? Because at that time, he had a great career with the Carolina Panthers, and he was, quote-unquote, Moose Muhammad at that point.
Oh, no question. To have, to have veterans at every position, with a rookie quarterback would be great. Certainly from a timing standpoint with the wide receivers and when he would say, hey, this is how I like to run a route, and this is why, there was really no second guessing on my part. He'd been there and done it before. He knew how he had to get open. And, that kind of quickened the curve in that. But, I think it's important just to have, a bunch of veterans in that huddle. Everybody in that huddle can take more of a leadership role. And really help out in all aspects. I mean, I remember having Thomas Jones in the backfield and, try to set a protection, and he could say, no, you're wrong. And Roland could look back and say, no, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. And I'd say, okay.
there's a scene. There's one where I forgot who we were playing, Kyle, where Olin basically turns around. You're pointing to the mic and he turns around and slaps your hand out of the air, and he's like, no, Mike's, whatever, 55 or whatever. I believe that was your rookie year, wasn't it?
It was, and it probably happened my fourth year, too.
You didn't talk back
but
to Olin?
Those guys have seen it. You can watch as much tape as you want. I mean, Olin could make that call based on how much weight the three technique had on his hand, And, I mean, there's just so much minute detail in every play, and to have all those guys that have seen it before, and you trust them and they trust you, and you just go out there and you get it done as a team.
Talking to Kyle Orton here on The Score with Patrick Manley. Do you still want to run for Congress?
I want to do something. I don't know what I want to do, but, I'd love to do something in that regard.
What do you make of politics and sports intersecting in the NFL in a way that we've never seen before?
I think it's a sad state, to be honest with you. I don't buy the timing of the quote unquote protests. I don't follow it all that close, but to me, it started out as something that was kind of anti-police, which I don't think a lot of people bought, and now it's kind of turned to something against the flag. And, you know, I certainly don't buy it, and I don't stand for it at all.
I think it's turned against something against the flag because that's the way people have been trying to make it turn, to make it about that and not about the stuff with the police.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it gets into some, you know, big media streams, and I don't think they can sell the, you know, anti-police deal, you know, so it turns into something of social injustice. And I think these guys all have every media outlet in the world to go out and protest, and they choose to do it for 90 seconds during our nation's anthem. And, you know, I just don't buy it.
Yeah, and so you don't buy the example or the line of thinking that that people wouldn't listen if not done in this way?
Absolutely not. These guys are stars. They're multimillionaires. They have hundreds of thousands of followers on social media and a lot of time in the off season. And, you know, I think that's the time to do it.
Gotcha. The joke around here is that people couldn't pronounce your name. What's the funniest Chicago pronunciation of your last name that you ever heard?
Man, I don't know. I've never even heard that, to be honest with you.
Ortman.
Kyle Ortman.
We used to get that. This Ortman can't play. They'd be ripping your – this Greaseman with Brian Greasy. Those kind of things.
Hey, Kyle, can you educate our listeners? Finally, this may be the final question. Can you educate our listeners on what waterfalling is? What's that?
I said, I know you can.
Waterfalling.
Waterfalling is something that Kyle became famous for, of spreading it to us as teammates, that happened in bars in downtown Chicago and all around the Midwest. Kyle, what do you got to get a wide base? Go ahead and explain it real quick, will you?
Yeah, it was just it was a good way to celebrate some big wins, and we had a lot of them.
Yes, we did. Maybe I'll tell this one later.
Yeah, I mean, well, Pat, you used to tell me about you and Orton and others, like, hanging out in the parking lot after the game. And
always. Who had the beer in the car, Kyle?
Patrick Manning.
That's right.
I think it was the Corvette back then.
It was. It was the cheesy Corvette.
And it was on ice.
We had great teams. We had great teammates. We had great relationships, and we had great fans. And I go back to a lot of my former cities, and, you know, people treat me well. But when I go back to Chicago, it's a whole different level, and I love that city.
Kyle, thanks for calling in, man. We enjoyed it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man. I'll be in touch about Squire Creek, man.
That is Kyle Orton, one of the many friends of Patrick Manley.
Who will never answer the phone when we call.
Nope.
Yeah. Definitely not. Definitely
not. So, Jay, just delete that number from your phone, please.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't worry. He won't be on again. Don't worry about it. Pat, thanks as always for the hour.
Thanks for coming in, and look forward to watching the Cubs game this afternoon.
Do you want a mask?
I do.
You want a mask?
I do. Can I wear it at home on the couch while I watch the game? Does that do
as long as you tweet it out?
Okay.
As long as you tweet out a picture of you with it, that's no problem.
And I'll put at Matt Spiegel.
670. <All right.
laughs> Sounds good. We'll transition next. It's Bernstein and Goff coming up on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.